Blog Talk Radio.
The intro.
That's outro.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
We'd like to say welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. Sorry we were unable to get connected. And we'd like to invite you to start and to join in with us with devotion. We're going to have song, scripture, and prayer. And if we could get the song from James Nooks and the scripture from Lester. And the prayer from Eric. The scripture is going to be our foundational text. The foundational text that Eric sent out is going to be.
Yes.
If you want to give it.
Just the verse.
All right.
Chapter and verse.
Okay, we'll sing My God is Real.
I'm laughing. Don't. My God won't laugh.
There are some things I may not know. There are some places I can't go, but I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel Him deep within. Yes, God is real in my soul. Yes, God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. Yes, God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul.
Amen.
Second Timothy 3:1-5. Second Timothy 3 says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, having nothing to do with such people.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, we take a moment to come this Tuesday evening to study Your Word. Another day, another opportunity, Father, for believers and those who are seeking to serve You in righteousness and truth to take time out to look through Your Word and to get a better understanding so that we may serve You as You really called us to, Father. For so many times we think that we're serving You, but we're really serving what it is that we want. But my prayer is this evening that You would reveal Yourself to us truly through Thy words which we will study. As we look at will we be a witness and what it means to be a witness, well, really that's what You called us to do when You saved us. To tell the story of Your unfailing love and of Your Son, Jesus Christ. So may You open our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. May You give us spiritual eyes to see Thee at work through Thy Word, spiritual ears, and we may hear You speak to us through Thy Word. the spiritual knowledge and understanding to put it into practice in our lives and in our communities. So have your way with us, Father, and we will give you the praise, honor, and glory for which you so richly deserve, for you are God alone. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, we want to thank Dr. Nooks for the song. We thank Lester for the scripture. I think we're going to move towards a little different direction because our lesson for the next 6 weeks are going to be focused on Will You Be a Witness? And we're going to talk about the coming of the Spirit. So if you will, those of you who are out there, if you would turn your attention to Acts, the second chapter, through the 8th verse, and the 38th through the 42nd lesson. We're going to be looking at Will You Be a Witness? And to lead us in this discussion will be Mr. Eric Jefferson Barnett, Eric Barnett Jefferson. And Mr. Jefferson, you ready
Thank
to go?
Thank you, Dr. Sue. Thank you, Dr. Susie. First, can we get a roll call to see who all we have with us? I know we have Dr. Nooks, Brother Lester Carver, Dr. Susie. Anyone else?
Brett.
Evening, Brett.
Good evening.
Anyone else? Well, welcome, all of you that are listening. If you do desire to speak, you can go into the host key and press 1, and we'd be happy to have you join us in dialogue. So when Dr. Susie talked with me late last week about leading the next couple of weeks, I really did have to go into, you know, what can we talk about? What can we discuss, knowing that God's word is never ending, and we've been doing this for a number of years now. How many, Dr. Susie? 7?
It's 8 now. Yeah.
8 years. So we've kind of had a lot of topics over 8 years, and we've been doing this weekly for 8 years. But I went through and prayed and meditated and reading the word, and it kind of just came to me. I mean, God saved us so that we could be witnesses. I mean, he really did. He showed us his unfailing love so that we could be witnesses to others. I mean, he used the prophets in the day of old to be witness to the people who were going contrary to what God had wanted. And today he really uses us that are believers that have been saved to be the same. And so I wanted to spend our time exploring that. And in the question, will you be a witness? It's obvious that if you've been saved, you've been saved to be a witness. But we still have free will, and sometimes we don't want to do what we're supposed to do. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I know that. Been there, done that, and probably do it again. Try not to, but probably will. But I wanna give us our foundational text for the next 6 weeks, and it's found in Mark 16. And you don't need to turn to it. I'll read it, and then we're gonna go into the second book of Acts. So Mark 16, 15 through 16, New Living Translation. And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. And anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. In the King James Version, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth in it and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And I'll submit to you, that's kind of pretty clear. Of course, this is after Jesus' resurrection, and he appears to the disciples, and he gives them that commandment. And if it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone, what is it telling you to do?
Go and preach the gospel.
And preaching the gospel is being what? I mean,
obedient.
It's being obedient, absolutely. But it's also being a witness to what God has done. The gospel is the good news about Jesus Christ, that there is a Savior.
Eric, can you repeat that text, please? Mark, the 16th chapter, 15 through.
Mark the 16th chapter, the 15th and 16th verse. And then this is the New Living Translation. And then he told them.
And that's.
Go. Huh?
I just was asking, and that is going to be our foundational text for the next 6 weeks?
That is.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure as I was sending this out because it's a little different from what I have. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. That's the foundational text. Each week we will have a supporting text, and all of the supporting texts will be in the book of Acts. So.
Okay, and that, will that be the ones that you sent me, the text,
correct,
as I'm sending this out to their radio audience? Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely. So go ye into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. So will you be a witness? Now let's turn our attention to our study text for this evening, which is Acts, second chapter, and let's start with verses 1 through 8. And if someone could read that for me, and then we'll have some discussion, and then we'll look at the other verses subsequently.
Well, this is James. I have a New Living Translation. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues or fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. They were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Nooks. So, Dr. Nooks, as you read that, what was the prevailing segment that jumped out at you?
Well, the Holy Spirit coming upon believers and giving them the ability to do what they could not do naturally themselves, and speaking in other tongues and reaching people in their own languages. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what really stood out to me, how amazing that was.
And let me ask this question of the group. Do we believe that the Holy Spirit still has that kind of power today?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
And how many of us operate in that?
I do.
I try.
Amen.
Amen for the try. Amen for the try.
Amen. I don't fully operate in everything that God has for me to do. I feel like I'm lacking, but I try.
And that's why I'm asking this, because it clearly states to us that there was a presence that was outside of these believers that rested on them. It says like clothes of fire, tongues of fire. That was the visible piece so that others could see.
Amen.
I was trying to get in there. You didn't hear me. But I guess trying to say is depending on your orientation to the text based on what denomination that you are from or have had history with, I think impacts really how we view operating in the Holy Spirit. And I share that because I don't want our listeners to feel that feel that they're kind of being chastised or because they haven't been operating in the Holy Spirit. But the whole reason why we have these lessons is so that whatever it is that we're not doing, if we find that the scripture is encouraging us to do that, we would then use that as an opportunity to stretch ourselves and move into that area. And so I'm just saying, based upon what you've been exposed to, is how most people orient themselves and operate. So we're ready to learn some new things. Is what I'm saying.
It probably warrants us discussing what does it mean to operate under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I mean, what does that mean? Because I think that, as Dr. Susie, I think you're trying to point out, that probably means different things to different people.
Different people.
So, Brett, what's your meaning of that phrase, operate in the Holy Spirit?
This is Lester Carver here. I believe that we have to see what it says here in this verse where it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was in them in man again for the first time since Adam lost it. In the Old Testament, when God wanted to do something, he put the Holy Spirit upon them, but it was never in them the way it was after Pentecost and after the crucifixion of Christ, etc. So this is a new time. So when you see the cloven tongues as a fire upon them, that sign, that is the beginning of something new. All the old is being done away with, something new is happening. And then this power of the Holy Spirit, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You have to go to 1 Corinthians 14, where it talks about how the operations of the Holy Spirit within you are speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and gifts of healing. And unfortunately, so many people are talked out of the operations of the Holy Spirit that people simply don't believe that they can perform any of them, or they believe that they can only perform one of them. But the teaching that I'm familiar with says that if you have the Holy Spirit, you can perform any of the 9 operations of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Carver. Anyone else? Perspective on what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit?
This is Dr. Susie. For me, I think it's real simple for me. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means that I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to, the very thing that the Bible says is that it said that the Holy Spirit would come to you and would be among you. And what the word talks about, how it will guide us into truth. And so I believe that the Holy Spirit lives in me, that the Holy Spirit, so to me, simply it means operating in the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit be that consciousness in which guides me to live my life and to do kingdom work.
Yeah, this is James. I would refer to 1 Corinthians 12 and starting at verse 28. That here are some of the parts of God, some of the parts God has appointed to the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown tongues, languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have this power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown tongues? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown tongues? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. So I feel that operating in the Holy Spirit is attained by seeking God and seeking God's direction. And I think all of us fall short. I don't think any of us get it all right all the time. But all of us are not gifted in the same way. And all of us don't have the same gifts, but yet we all should work together as a body. I believe some people speak in tongues, and I believe some people don't speak in tongues. That does not mean that they are not the children of God. And I believe those that have the gift of tongues, I think that's a wonderful gift. And I think those that have the gift of leadership, that's a wonderful gift. Those that have the gift of prophecy, I think that's a wonderful gift. But I don't believe that all of us have all of the gifts, and all of us can't do everything. But I think all of us working together, I think the Holy Spirit leads us in different ways.
Amen. So we all have unique perspectives of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and no one is any better or any more correct than the other, because it is an interpretation of what God is doing in our lives and how we utilize that as our relationship is with God. For me, in my purest and the purest form of being filled with the Holy Spirit, is that I seek to have God's direction in my life, and I yield to that direction when I am pricked to do so, when my conscience is questioned, if you will. You know, simple things that you know, some people take for granted as you know, a business person. You know, you're getting ready to have lunch, and is this lunch really on you, or is this lunch going to be on the company? Are you talking about company business, or are you just having lunch and you want the company to pay for it? And the Spirit tells you, well, you're not talking about company business, so that's what the policy says, so why would you make the company pay for the lunch? You know, simple things of that, you know, for a lot of things. And one for me is driving, you know, because I like to drive fast. I ain't going to make no pretense about it. I do. And I always ask the Lord when I get ready to go on the trip, help me to be under control so I don't speed, I don't go over the speed limit too much. But when you see that posted sign, you know you're already going too. You're going too fast. I mean, you know it. It says 70. I'm driving 80. I'm going too fast. And if I get stopped, they have every right to write me a ticket. I can't complain about it. Can't argue about it. But once I see that sign pricks me to say, you know what the limit is. Now you can choose to follow it or not choose to follow it. And I think, and very elementary, I understand that. But I also think that in our lives, that we that are Christians, we come into circumstances and situations that we walk every day, and there are times that the Spirit pricks us and say, you might not want to do that. You might not want to say that. That wasn't the right thing to say. You might want to apologize to that person. That's being filled with the Holy Spirit, that once you are in root, engaged in whatever you're doing, the Spirit pricks you and determines, you know, where you should be going. And I am with Brother Nooks on this, is that none of us are completely there. And I don't. And my belief, and this is just me, is that we will not get there, as I call it, the state of perfection, until we meet Jesus. Until we go through that process where we stand before God and Jesus speaks up for us and we transition over with him, then we will have perfection. And then we will have all those things that this glorious book talks about. But what else in those first 8 verses that we read jumps out at anybody as well? I want to look at these couple of verses. Suddenly there was a sound of heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm in the sky above them, and then it filled the house where they were meeting. There are all these visual signs and these audible signs, because as Brother Carver said, this is a new phenomenon now. You know, this is not God pouring out his spirit on those prophets and on, you know, Samson's and you know, Goliath, on Samson's and all the folks that, you know, Gideon and all of that folks. So that, to me, that's what that was. God was pouring his spirit on those folks to do the mighty things that they did. But this is a new phenomenon. And so we've got all these visuals and these audible things going on that I would imagine would have been very new and very scary to folks that were around this process. Would anyone agree to that?
Amen.
I mean,
this is Dr.
if we
Susie,
get...
I,
yeah, go ahead, Dr. Sue.
No, I was just saying that I totally agree with you. And the thing that jumped out at me is because I've been, I travel worldwidely. And when you go to different countries where it's not your native tongue, and you get to hear other people use their language, and you hear, and you find just how different that is. But it says clearly that in the text that they were able to hear, they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. So, you know, here you are over, you know, English is common, but if I was speaking Armenian or I was speaking, Arabic over in the United States and it's not as common, then it would, you know, to be able to identify that and when you hear somebody speaking English and you're in another country, it gives you a sense of connectedness. And so when I could see that the people there were connecting to what Peter was saying because they were speaking in their own language and they were excited about it because it was drawing them in. And so, you know, that's just a point that jumped out at me.
Yeah, and this is James, because the people left here and they went to all parts of the world at that time. And so they heard the gospel preached in their own languages. God's amazing. And this was very much an amazing happening here, that the Spirit, and God knows how to speak all languages, but the Spirit gave the believers the ability to connect, as Dr. Susie said, with these people. But then the people took what was said and they took that back to their own lands, and the gospel was spread. So God allowed this event to be really the beginning of the church, the church to all the world. Before that, it was kind of with the Jews in a small location, but here, this was the diaspora of the church.
Absolutely. And let's let the audience know that it says the day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish festival day that occurred 50 days after the Passover. So it was a holy day, and a day that was recognized by all Jews at that point in time. So we've got all this visual, the clothes of fire. We've got this audible, the rushing wind that today we would think it would be a violent storm that was destructive and tearing up stuff, but it wasn't. It was ushering in the infilling power of God's Holy Spirit to the believers, and now the believers are speaking, as Dr. Susie said, to in other tongues, and the folks that are there from those regions are hearing their own words and then questioning, how is that possible? These are Jews, these are unlearned men, and so how could they be speaking and we understand what they're saying? Because I absolutely believe Dr. Lester, right now it is becoming not just a religion of a few in a region. It is becoming worldwide. And so that being said, they're getting that, then to become worldwide, that means they can't stay where they are, correct? Somebody's going to have to move somewhere. Let's take a look at the second part of our scriptures for this evening.
Can I say something before you move on?
Yes.
One of the things that I get out of this is in verse 2, it says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. There was a reason why that had to be done. And what I'm feeling in reading this is that there were so many people, they were just going about eating, drinking, not really in the spirit where they needed to be. So this was God's way of getting their attention, for them to listen and start getting on track with what he had commanded them to do. Also, when people start speaking in different tongues and stuff, that was another sign from heaven that you're not talking to your brother the way I want you to talk. So I'm just taking it as I see it, and I'm saying, hey, guy had to get their attention because they were not about the business of doing his word. So he came in just like if you're at church and it's really quiet and you're waiting on the pastor to come, and all of a sudden you hear a loud clap of thunder and the building shakes. That gets your attention. I think this is what God needed to do in order to get their attention so that they could be about doing what he wanted them to do. And by allowing them to speak in other tongues and stuff, this made it that only a certain group of people could understand what was being said, because everybody's speaking in different tongues. Does that make sense?
Yeah, actually, Brett, it does. And I guess my question to the group is, what has God had to do to get your attention lately?
My Lord.
Luke's upside the head. That's a good way of getting it.
What, wasn't there a song out there, Oops Upside the Head?
Yep, that's the first thing that came to me. So sometimes we need to be waking up.
This is Eric, and I think there are a lot of times that we do, because I think that we as believers, and I think that what's going on here is that we become complacent. I mean, we are experiencing God's blessings and you know, breath and good health and, you know, whatever it is that God has blessed us with, and we become complacent. And if you're going to be a witness can't be complacent. A witness is always going to be out there figuring out who is next and where can I go to tell this story. And we become complacent because most believers, and I'm not saying all groups, so don't shoot me, but most believers believe that, well, it's not my job to witness, that's the preacher's job or the deacon's job.
You know, what's interesting, you talk about witnessing and complacency, and what stands out to me is a passage in Acts 19 where it says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we haven't heard that there is any Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. So now they're going to go to the next level as a result of Paul witnessing to them. It says, Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And it says there were about 12 in all. And when you talk about complacency and witnessing, as we witness the word to people, whether they are believers or unbelievers, we're going to take those people to the next level. And our witness has to be a progressive rolling out one of the things that was mentioned tonight is that we're going to be perfected when Jesus Christ returns, and that's true. But the other part of that is that all of these things that we're talking about related to the gift of Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, interpretation tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and gifts of healing, they're all going to be done away with because they're no longer going to be necessary. So the time to use them is now.
All right.
That's true.
Amen.
Yes.
So let's look at the rest of our text for this evening. That's verses 38 through 42. And who has that they can read that for us? Acts 2, verses 38 through 42.
It says, Peter replied, this is from the New Living Translation. Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to show that you have received forgiveness for your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles, miraculous signs, and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in their homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Amen.
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 So, Brother Carver just brought up from the other passage that Paul asked the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And the reply was no. And he asked, what baptism did you get? And they said, John's baptism. And so my question is, when we are being baptized, are we always getting the baptism of Jesus Christ?
This is Lester Carver. I'd like to help answer that. The answer is yes, and it's because when you read here in Acts 2:38 and 39, and it says, he tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's a promise from God. It says you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 19, where it says, have you received the Holy Spirit? That is a different receive. The word for receive here in Acts 2:38 is dekomai, to receive into subjection, where you have it. It is with you. But now, to receive it into manifestation is Acts 19, where he says, have you received the Holy Spirit, lambano, into manifestation, so that you have manifested it by speaking in tongues so that you can see the power that is now subjectively within you. So did they receive the Holy Spirit when they were baptized? Yes. But did they receive the Holy Spirit in the manifestation? No. So it's a matter of looking at that Greek word for receive.
Thank you, Brother Carl. That's great insight and analogy. And so my next question for this particular text is, do we think he's talking about water baptism or spiritual baptism?
Spiritual.
Any both. More for spiritual? How many for water?
Both.
How many for other?
Both.
It's spiritual.
It's spiritual.
Why are you laughing, Lester?
Dr. Susie?
Lester's cracking up.
I was just trying to find out why Lester was laughing.
Because this discussion about water baptism and spiritual baptism required. And I come from a tradition that said that that water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ was not required. And I had to really submit to the word on this, and it took me all the way up till I was 30 in order to yield to the Holy Spirit and the authority of the word and get water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, because I was taught all my life that it was simply the receiving of the spiritual baptism. And why not both? And that's my question. Why not both?
Well, yeah, and here is some supporting information on that from the scripture. 1 Peter 3, starting at verse 19, New Living Translation, this is going to go through verse 22. So he went and preached to the spirits in prison, those who disobeyed God long ago, when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat. Only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. And this is the picture of baptism, which now saves you by the power of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Baptism is not a removal of dirt from your body. It is an appeal to God for a clean conscience. Now, Christ has gone to heaven. He is seated in the place of honor next to God. All the angels, authorities, and powers are bowing before him. And Brother Carver, I absolutely agree with you. And most of you have heard me tell this. I remember being baptized in 1977, and I went down a dry devil and came up a wet one. I accepted Christ. I was baptized, and my life didn't change a whole lot. It changed some, but it did not change a whole lot. It wasn't until my spiritual baptism in 1983 that my life began to change.
Yeah,
and so
this is James.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, we're commanded to be baptized, and then you get into the situation, you know, some places it says baptize in the name of Jesus, other places it says, in Matthew it says be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we get all up in arms in different churches, different denominations about whether we should be baptized in the name of Jesus or in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the baptism, we even differ on that. Some people believe you have to be immersed. Some people believe you can be poor. Some people believe you can sprinkle. And actually, in the early church, when they didn't have a place to baptize people, they actually did pour and sprinkle. I mean, so there's different modes of baptism. The water baptism is something that we're commanded to do. But if you don't have the Spirit of God, or if you're not really seeking the Spirit of God, then the water baptism doesn't mean anything. So that's why I said the Spirit. I believe that we should be baptized, but it doesn't matter to me whether you sprinkled or you dipped or you poured. And I'm a Baptist. So.
Well, the people, this is Dr. Susie. People from the Way, if you go back to Eusebius, who recorded the ways of which the new church did that, they always looked for a place where there was running water because they believed there was life in the water. So the preferential method was to baptize where there was running water, where a person could be immersed. That was the preference. I'm not saying other people weren't baptized, you know, depending on what they had available. They did have a preference.
And they did. And so in our denominations, they have a preference. And, you know, I mean, if that's what your denomination agrees to, that's fine. And if that works for you. Because I'm of the belief that at some point in time, whatever it is that God wants you to do to show that, he's going to prick you to do that. Is that right, Lester, Brother Carver?
Well, I believe that salvation is a journey, and I believe that the beginning of that journey is always the beginning of something that God is responsible to finish. As pertains to salvation, though, right? All denominations seem to be divided, Christian denominations divided, on these 5 things God is asking us to do in Acts 2:38 and 39, in Acts 19, 4 and 5, and in Romans 10:9-10. And if we simply said, do it all, because at the end of all of that, it says, you will receive the Holy Spirit, right? And we said, what is wrong with people repenting, turning away from serving sin? What is wrong with people being water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? What is wrong with people believing to speak in tongues and prophesy after having the hands laid on them? What is wrong with people confessing with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of their life and their master? And what is wrong with them believing in their heart that God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead? What is wrong with saying you do these five things, you absolutely have Holy Spirit without a doubt? What's wrong with that? And why are all Christian denominations trying to embrace part of those five and reject the other parts of those five?
Well, that's this is Dr. Susie. That's a whole nother class. That is
it's
a whole nother class by itself.
It's called denominational.
It's 753.
And that's the one I'll bow
This is Dr. Susie. That's just one thing I wanted to share before we leave. You know, when we do have baptism, I think it's important to know that God works with each of us differently. You know, it is an outward expression of what's occurred already inside of you when you do it for most of us. So even though, Brother Eric, you know, you went down one way and came back up the same way, it depends
on... No, I was the same way. I was
everybody
just
well, but I guess what I'm saying is that...
And I speak for myself. I know that
everybody's situation. Right. And so I wanted to make sure that our audience understood that, you know, some people who have not accepted Christ in their hearts, that is exactly what happens, because in reality it's between you and God. You and God know that it's an outward expression of what has occurred on the inside of you. That's the whole ritual of baptism. So when you truly have accepted the Lord, when you truly have believed and confessed, then that is, you don't come back up, go down a wet devil and come back up. You go down and come back up changed. For those who have transformed in their hearts, this is a ritual expression of what's already occurred, and it's a celebration that we do in honor of being obedient to that which we saw Christ do. So,
and Dr. Susie, I would absolutely agree. And I guess the other part for me on my particular situation was that people can also get caught into what's expected of them at a certain period of time in the church that they're going to, whether it's the right time or the thing. That's just, you know, that's what you do. And you're absolutely right, and that's why I speak to, it wasn't until 1983 with my spiritual baptism that I began to understand that. And so that being said, listen,
amen.
It's 7:55,
no,
thereabouts. Yes.
We have one more thing I want to say. I wanted to expand what you said. That occurs not only in water baptism, but in every type of baptism, spiritual as well. You can accommodate people no matter where you are or what you do. You know, that can happen anywhere in any denomination, because a lot of people are pressured to conform. And so I guess what I want to say is, you know, God knows your heart. And that's what's important, because that's your relationship piece that you're having that matters. It's you and God,
amen.
You and the Holy Spirit, you and the Son. Whatever relationship you have with God is what is manifested, whether you accept God and have water baptism or spiritual baptism. And it's that relationship that develops and transforms, and metanoia turns you away from sin and towards God.
Amen.
Amen.
It is 7:56.
And I'm going to turn it back over to you, Dr. Susie, for closing and prayer concerns and prayer praises.
Amen. God has really been good to us this evening, and this is always going to be a live discussion, because the Holy Spirit is we want, God wants us to witness, and that's what this lesson is about. Will you be a witness? And we've been talking today about the chapter of Acts, the second chapter, the first through the eighth verse, the 38th through the 42nd.
And we'll continue next week with Lesson 2, Life Among the Believer, Acts 2, 43 through 47, the fourth chapter, 32 through 35. So come back prepared to dialogue with us next week and dial in. The dial-in number is 646-478-4932. So are there any prayer concerns? A praise report for tonight?
This is Greg Lissman. Yeah, I want you to continue to pray for us. We have a testimony that God has brought us all the way from North Carolina. We were there for a few days and came back and saw my son out there and was able to look at the Marines, the memorial for the Marines who had died in Beirut, Lebanon. And I was there in Beirut, Lebanon, stationed there. So just continue to pray for us, and we thank and praise God that we're still alive. We're still here.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Eric, would you close us in prayer? Yes. Yes.
This is Brett. I just want us to pray for the president and his family. You know, this is the first time I know of in history that anybody has penetrated the White House, and it has to be when a black president is there. So they think of us as the N-word, and I don't think that they're really doing a good job on protecting them. So let's pray for them and their safety.
All right. Eric, would you offer a prayer? It's 7:58.
Gracious Father, we come before you, our humble servants. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word and to come together. You've heard those prayer concerns and prayer requests, and I ask that you would honor them. We thank you for all that you have done in our lives and will continue to do in the upcoming days, weeks, and months. May you bless those that are on this line and their families and keep them strong and safe from harm's way. And you keep us.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection. Your place
you
of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
Amen.
Amen.
Blessing.
Bless you. Love you guys.
Can't find where to close it. It won't let me hit the. I was trying to. It wasn't showing it.